This is Jack's Journal, an in-depth look at issues that affect you and your community.
Welcome to another episode of Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV Jacksonville's News and Talk. I'm your host, Shefalika Botnager, and today I have a very special guest with us today on the show. It's Teresa Miles, Executive Director of the Women's Center of Jacksonville here in Northeast Florida. Good afternoon, Teresa. How are you doing today?
Afternoon. I am doing well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, the Women's Center of Jacksonville is an organization that I honestly didn't know very much about, and I looked into it, and I'm astounded by everything that you guys do. I would love to touch on how the Women's Center of Jacksonville began in Northeast Florida.
Oh, absolutely. So this month, we've actually been here for 28 years. And It started with really a need for information and referral for women, women who needed kind of one central location to go to in order to, find daycare centers, find resources, whatever they were needing. And a group of sacrificial women came together and said, you know, there are gaps in our community for women and we need to fill those gaps. So they started in, you know, just one room in a building down in downtown Jacksonville with a plug-in phone at the wall and a number for people to call when they needed help. And from there, really just expanded based on needs, really filling gaps that they identified in the community, that women identified.
Wow. 28 years ago. And so what were some of these needs that they were getting calls about?
Wow. So really everything from, as I mentioned, you know, I can't find daycare. You know, I've been sexually assaulted. I am, in a really bad relationship and I'm frightened. I don't know what to do. I'm running out of resources to feed my children. So, you know, it was just, there didn't seem to be, you know, that centralized location just for women's issues. And
wow,
that was a really important thing for them to do, to really understand all the resources that were available in Northeast Florida. And if they weren't available, what did we need to do to create those resources?
Wow, that's amazing. So after all this time, what are some of the services that the WCJ, or Women's Center Jacksonville, that you guys specialize in nowadays?
Well, we certainly are still an information and referral resource for women. We have a litany of resources in the community that we know of that are female-friendly, that we know women will be cared for in those particular locations. We vet those ourselves. So we have information and referral. We also run a 24-hour hotline for sexual assault survivors and those who are in need of resources involving sexual assault.
Oh, really? What is that hotline number?
Yeah, that hotline number is 904-721-7273. And we have staff on call 24 hours a day to respond. And those calls come in from law enforcement. They come in from survivors themselves. They come in from parents or friends or siblings of a survivor, just individuals who want to know what resources are available. And then from there, we help to provide those resources. We are the certified sexual assault center for Duval, Nassau, and Baker County here in Northeast Florida.
Wow.
And yeah, so we provide advocacy for individuals who are sexually assaulted. And I say individuals because it's certainly not just women who are sexually assaulted. And although it's
the vast majority,
but men are also, you know, transgender, you know, individuals, just vulnerable individuals. So we serve anyone who faces a situation such as that. We provide forensic exams as well. Part of our role on our hotline is to determine what the need for services are. So if a sexual assault has occurred within a particular window of time, about 120 hours, then we can provide the forensic exams. We have certified nurses that are on call. And depending on the situation, they can either come to our safe center or to a hospital in the community, and then we'll meet them at that hospital.
Oh, really? So that they're not alone?
Correct. Yeah, yeah. We have a two-person team, both a nurse and an advocate on call 24 hours a day.
Wow.
And so our nurses can go to the hospital and perform those exams, or the client can come to us, and we can do that. You know, but the truth is, Shefalika, what we start with is believing. So when that call comes in, it is our role and our goal to believe and to figure out what we can do to help and to empower that individual to become a part of their own journey and healing.
Mm-hmm. That's got to be a pretty difficult call to have to make, but it's also one of the bravest things a person can do for themselves if they are going through any kind of abuse and they need information and they need somebody who will believe them. I think that
that is one of the most fundamental first steps that a person can take when overcoming something like that. You know, I've known many people, family members, friends, including myself, and just even coworkers throughout time and history that have gone through abusive relationships. Both men and women have experienced this, whether it's emotional abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, financial abuse even. And, you know, one of the scariest things is right when somebody does decide, okay, I can't do this anymore. I've stayed maybe years too long in this relationship. I need to get out. What do I do? You know, what would you recommend to them? This should be some of the first steps, because that's a really scary, pivotal point.
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, certainly each situation is individualized. And here in Northeast Florida, we actually partner with our domestic violence partner, which is Hubbard House. So together, between sexual violence and physical violence, we meet the needs of those individuals who are in those domestic violence situations or sexual violence situations. So our first, recommendation would be to pick up the phone if you can. If you can't, talk to somebody you trust and ask them to pick up the phone and get those resources. So, you know, either way, we can be there for them, and we really do encourage them to pick up that phone. But you're right, it takes a lot of courage to do that. And that's why I really stress that we start with believing. So when that phone is answered, I just guarantee that the person who answers it will meet with compassion and kindness and believing so that we can help them heal.
Right, and that they'll meet you right where you're at, no matter where it is. And that's one of the most important things I think we can do as far as for when people do call in. Again, that hotline, 24 hours, it's available. That number is 904-721-7273. I see here on your website at the WCJ.org that you also have opportunities for counseling and group therapy and educational resources and even ways for people to volunteer and give. What can people find online from the Women's Center of Jacksonville, just in case they may not be ready to call in yet?
Absolutely. I'm so glad you said that, because on our website is also a link to something called Speak and Seek, or Seek and Speak, and it gives a survivor of sexual violence an opportunity to go in there and narrate their story without feeling like they have to call us or they have to call law enforcement. It literally is a protected document that they, you know, so that they don't maybe lose their thoughts at that time. So that's one resource. But then, of course, as you mentioned, the other resources and services that are on our website, we want people to go there and to see and to read and know that we can help in a lot of other directions. Our mental health counseling program provides counseling services to sexual assault survivors and the community in general with regard to people who are facing trauma. You know, sexual assault is certainly one trauma, but there are other traumas in life. I mean, all of us experienced some levels of trauma during COVID and different areas, you know, throughout our journeys. And the importance of women who cannot necessarily afford counseling to know that there is a free resource here in Jacksonville that we can do that. We can assist with free mental health counseling. So we have that available. We also have a program that's kind of designed to be a step before maybe somebody's ready for mental health counseling. And it's really a program that's designed to help women increase their resiliency, their ability to respond to trauma. And in doing so, we hope to be able to give them the tools to kind of put their feet on the floor in the morning and make sure they can get up and out that door if that's what they need, versus maybe digging deep in a mental health session. But sometimes they just need those tools to get that support, kind of in the aftermath of trauma.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I think that it's also a opportunity. On your website, I'm seeing areas where people can volunteer. And I know that, you know, from the people I've cared for in my life that have gone through these kinds of things, I've heard that, you know, one of the things that helped them finally make the steps to move away from that situation and restart their life, essentially, and in a way rediscover who they were outside of that, you know, toxic situation. When they were on that path of rediscovery and healing and finding their freedom again, they told me that the one thing that helped them get through the darkest hours that they had was knowing that maybe one day down the line, their story will be able to help somebody else overcome something that they're going through. and that is like almost the light at the end of the tunnel for survivors or anybody experiencing abuse, that one day maybe their story, their courage, their plan, their game plan worked for them and they can share it with somebody else. So as a volunteer, what can people do with the Women's Center of Jacksonville?
Oh, we value our volunteers. They provide amazing resources in our community. So one of the things that we have are not only just our sexual assault program for volunteer opportunities. I mean, we had over 7,000 hours of support last year.
Wow.
In our agency. I know. And some of them are individuals who are committed to a long-term volunteer opportunity that we can actually have certified as sexual assault volunteer advocates. So that's a resource there that is available for volunteers who really, truly would like to walk that journey with a survivor. But also, we have needs for volunteers in all aspects. We have a gentleman who volunteers in our finance department who has been with us for years. We have individuals who volunteer to help us with outreach in the community, to help us with training. We have volunteers to help us with events that we, you know, put on throughout the year in our fundraising efforts.
I see. Well, I think that a person sharing their experience and their expertise, offering up their time for anybody going through or recovering from abuse is time well spent in this life. And that's how I see the world. I do want to touch on prevention as well, because sometimes in today's world, we may not be able to really look at our own actions and our words, our behaviors, and see how it impacts others in a negative way. What would you say to the people out there that maybe may not realize that what they're doing, the way they're acting, is hurting the people that care about them?
Yeah. Well, I definitely thinking about ourselves and what kind of a culture we're creating, right? I think that we've joked around about, you know, what parts our lives and our family have played in what we call a rape culture. Mm. And, you know, I remember even early on with my son when he was 3 years old, and my father would say, you know, you need to go hug Aunt Maybelle. Because we, you know, he was a Southern man who grew up in the South. And I would say, but Daddy, if he doesn't want to hug Aunt Maybelle, I don't know that we need to make him. I want him to understand he has autonomy to his own body. Mm-hmm. You know, so one of the things I certainly think that we as parents can do is, you know, working with our children from literally when they are, you know, toddlers about that respect for their own body. Because when we grow up knowing respect for ourselves, then we have respect for others.
Wow.
Now, it's not about teaching sex education or anything else at an early age. It's about teaching about consent and that nobody should really touch me unless I consent to it. You know, so that's the basis for everything, and an area that I think we really need to be shouting from the rooftops because that's what prevents it for the next generation. So to me, that's a very passionate area. And we love to work in the area of prevention. We have staff that go into the bars and work with bar staff because we recognize that alcohol creates vulnerability, you know, and we want to teach them how to support their clientele who may have, you know, maybe possibly been drugged in their drink or just maybe over partaken in alcohol. And, you know, how do we help those individuals? And, you know, when you think about it, I have a lot of women who talk to me because they know I'm in this field who say, how do I help my daughter, you know, going off to college? Or, you know, I want to get her into self-defense classes. And, you know, I always say, because as a mother of a son, I say, well, we first need to teach our boys not to rape. That's the most important thing. But with our daughters, what we need to do is teach them to take care of one another. You know, sexual assault is a crime of isolation. So if we teach our daughters that they should always have each other's backs and always go in tandem and always, you know, be strong buddies for one another, that's a big part of it. We offer a program out at Jacksonville University. It's called Green Dot. And it talks about the importance of identifying areas that could create cultures of violence. You know, everything from when you see an argument between two people, is there a way that you can intervene? And our staff have lots of tricks and toys and talents that help to educate students at the college level about what they can do. You know, some people, they don't have the confidence to maybe intervene in situations, but maybe they could knock over a glass and spill a drink, and that kind of stops everybody and makes everybody look, you know,
right.
It just settles. There's just little things that could really make a difference in prevention of violent acts. So we are really hoping to grow our prevention efforts over the next few years. And that is an area of volunteerism too, you know?
That's true.
We can't do it alone. What a big community we have, huh?
That's
so
true.
How we engage some volunteers in that area.
I see here in your prevention area of your website as well that not only are you guys going into bars and restaurants to help the staff spot predatory behavior and maybe find ways to include solutions, but you're going into gyms and fitness environments because there's inappropriate behavior there as well. Well as you're teaching the young people, you know, this is what to look out for when something's not right. And this is safe ways to change the culture from the youth up. I think that's really brilliant. And that there is another number here for people to reach out to if perhaps you've got a couple of ideas of restaurants or bars or music arenas or gyms that you want to recommend that the Women's Center of Jacksonville maybe reach out to and work with. Yeah. You can get in touch with the Women's Center at 904-722-3000. Now, that's easy to remember.
3,000. And, you know, for us, we recognize that our businesses in Northeast Florida, they want to keep their clientele safe. So, you know, we find that they are very receiving of this because they don't want to have an environment where people are harmed or, you know, something's being created that doesn't, you know, ultimately end well. So, you know, that is something that we would love to engage more businesses in our community. And also, before we go, I certainly want to touch on our Bosom Buddies program.
So
it's really a unique program. It's been within the Women's Center for over 20 years. The founder of that program, a woman by the name of Bobby D. Cordova Hanks, started it here in Northeast Florida because she realized there were not resources for women who were in active treatment, who didn't have insurance, who didn't have support systems. And, it's called Bosom Buddies.
Okay.
So, yeah, later on, Bobby realized that she couldn't kind of keep it going on her own, so she invited us to bring that program into the Women's Center, and we've been running it for more than 20 years, and it's really a program that is focused on those women in active treatment. We run support groups throughout the month in the evenings, and we're doing this virtually now because we find that is so much easier, particularly for women in active treatment. We bring in medical professionals to help guide them so that they're getting kind of the most recent information. You know, a diagnosis of that nature is really, really tough. But
that
when you don't have an understanding of it or the resources to help you through it, that's what we're here for.
I see. Well, there's so many things that the Women's Center of Jacksonville is doing for the community that I just think are absolutely empowering and crucial. And I'm really excited to be able to share with our listeners more information about your organization. If there are any questions you'd like to find out for yourself, you can always check out online thewcj.org and find out more. You can also call their number at 904-722-3000 to get connected. But one thing I'd really love to touch on before you leave is, as executive director, I would love to hear more about this upcoming event you have in August 22nd. It is called Thrive, Picking Up the Pieces, and it's presented by a couple of buddies of mine, Farah and Farah. I really enjoy working with them, and I'm happy to know that, you know, Thrive is an event that's coming up this month. There's something we can go to. Tell us all about it.
Absolutely. Tuesday, August 22nd at the Florida Blue Conference Center. It starts at 8 a.m., and we are committed to have people out that door by 9:30 because we know your days are valuable. But we would love for folks to spend the morning with us. And, you know, as you mentioned, we are talking about picking up the pieces and kind of, as I referenced earlier, trauma. Trauma is alive in everyone's world. You know, none of us can truly avoid it throughout our lives.
That's true.
And we're going to have a really engaging program that's going to help people understand trauma and the normal reactions to trauma and provide some tips and tools for our audience. You know, we have a lot of breakfasts, a lot of, you know, events and within Northeast Florida, and, you know, we certainly do them as well. But we hope that this one is special because it really does focus on resources that you can use as an individual to help you through very difficult times. And I'm just thrilled that Farah and Farah and some of our other sponsors are coming to the table and saying this is important and we want to support it. And we are going to have probably 300 people in the room.
My goodness.
We are still soliciting for sponsors. We have some tables available. We have sponsorships. It's all on our website. And they start at $1,000 and go up and gives tickets on the day of, opportunities for, you know, benefits of sponsors. And then there's also just individual tickets available as well. So we are really hopeful that this is going to be another great event. This is our third year in a row, and we are beyond excited.
That's awesome.
Our fourth year in a row, our third year in person, or second year in person.
Oh, wow. Nice. Especially after the pandemic, like time has been skewed by that period of a couple of years there. So if people want to get tickets or if they want to donate and if they want to join you guys on August 22nd for Thrive, picking up the pieces, they can go to give.thewcj.org. To find out more information, how they can give and maybe get some tickets. I was wondering, you know, how late are you guys selling tickets and how hard is it to maybe get a spot now that it's right around the corner?
Yeah, well, we do still have opportunities available for sponsorships. You know, unfortunately, as we get closer, it might get a little more difficult, but I encourage folks to reach out because the other part is we have some amazing sponsors who are saying to us, you know, we may not be able to fill a full table, but we'll, you know, so letting us know, you know, if there's somebody who you really, really want to be there and maybe there's an opportunity that they could sit with a sponsor if needed. But, you know, our goal is to raise a lot of money. And I say that because we want to continue to provide services for free in our community. Right now, all of our services are no cost to our clients. And we can only do that with unrestricted money, which is what this does for us. So the more money we can raise on that day, the more sponsors we have, the more we can do in our community to fill those gaps, continue to do really great work in filling gaps.
That's right. And it's you guys cover a lot of area as well. I mean, Duval County, Baker County, Nassau County. I mean, there are millions of people in this area. And yeah. Northeast Florida, we are our own little universe in the state of Florida here. And we are so diverse and we have so many different backgrounds. And that's one thing that really makes us so strong. I think that, you know, connecting together on the stories that we have overcome as individuals makes us a greater, stronger community as a whole. I see here on your website as well, there's a quote from a woman named Tanya, who's 32 years old, saying that, "Thankfully, I found WCJ. The support I received has simply been a lifeline. I'll never forget what has happened to me, but now I'm able to look forward and not let it ruin my future." And I think that that's really the undertone of everything that you guys do. It's about what's next for you, not all the hell you've been through. You know what I mean?
Right. You're absolutely right. And as you mentioned earlier, when survivors are ready to speak their stories, we are here to listen. And if they need a platform for that, you know, we have some wonderful opportunities for them. We do an event every April called Surviving to Thriving, and we have survivors who speak their truth. They are able to talk. They can do it in music, art forms, spoken word. It's just a beautiful event. But in addition to that, you know, we are always happy to help survivors if that is part of their healing. You know, our social media, I really do encourage folks to go to our Facebook, our Instagram, and to like us and to share our stories of our survivors. I mean, these women are amazing. You know,
absolutely.
Whether they're just women who have faced, you know, generalized trauma, or they're women who have been through sexual assault, or any individual going through a sexual assault, breast cancer survivors. I'm blessed to do this job, I will tell you that. At the end of the day, when I lay my head down at night, I'm just so in awe about these women and their resiliency.
Yeah, I think that the human spirit is something that's indomitable. So
that little bit of courage, and then we'll help you the rest of the way.
Right. Right. And I see here on your list of team members, not only do you have lots of men and women here on your roster, but you have bilingual victim advocates. You have, you know, counselors. You have nurses. You have all kinds of education, you know, interns and advocations. You have the SAFE program coordinator. That's a topic I would love to discuss with you. Maybe the next time for April when you have that event coming up, we could have you back on Jack's Journal and we could learn more about that.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything? Absolutely. Anytime.
Is there anything that you'd like for our listeners to really know, just something you'd want to leave with them in their hearts before I let you go?
I think truly, if they can continue to actively spread the word that we are a resource for individuals in need, for any individual who has experienced a sexual assault, but any woman that you know who is facing a crisis, who feels lost, who needs help, that, you know, we're really here for them and want to be a resource. And I got to tell you, we have an amazing team. I can't even begin to brag enough on not only the, you know, the education and the skill set of our employees, but the compassion and the kindness, and that they will always be greeted with such. And we can't do it all, but we can certainly try, and we can certainly provide resources to those that maybe we don't have the resources for.
Well, thank you so much, Director Teresa Miles with the Women's Center of Jacksonville. It's been a real pleasure speaking to you today.
Shafalika, thank you very much for caring so much and getting this story out. And I hope to see you at Thrive on the 22nd.
I'm coming. Yes. I'm going.
Thank you. Wonderful. I look forward to seeing you.
It's an honor to do this kind of show, and it's an honor to cover this kind of content. You know, abuse is, there is never an excuse for abuse, but it does take over your life when it happens. So
absolutely.
It's
thank
okay.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Director Miles. And thank you all for listening. You're listening to Jack's Journal, brought to you by 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. I'm your host, Shafalika Bhatnagar. One more shout out to the Women's Center of Jacksonville and Director Teresa Miles for giving us some time today and opening our eyes and our hearts up to what's out there in Duval County, Nassau, and Baker counties. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back again with another episode.
You've been listening to Jack's Journal, a production of News 104.5 WOKV.